Welcome and God bless. Thank you for joining us on our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. On behalf of Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit us at votacoma.org.
Turn your Bibles this afternoon to 1 Samuel chapter 17. It's a familiar story. As a matter of fact, on my Bible, and probably in your Bible, the heading says David and Goliath. When you're there, say, I'm there. And when you're not, say, hold on. I hope I didn't forget any announcements today. And I appreciate and I thank Pastor Eric for even considering me to be able to come and to share his word to the congregation here. It's a blessing to be able to share and be a part of what God is doing here in Tacoma. And my wife and I, we've made a move and we had a change. And my son, who's playing the guitar, and my other son that's in the back, amen, doing the thing. And my daughter's here, amen. So how many know God is able to keep a family, amen? So they were born in the church. So they didn't come from the same lifestyle that I have, but they still, we're all sinners. I'm going to say amen. And so they were able to, God has kept them, and they're able to be here and to serve the Lord. And as a matter of fact, my sister also, Sister Kathy, there in Seattle, that's my sister. So she prayed for me, and I was able to come in. And so I have another niece that is a pastor's wife there in Southern California, the city of Pomona. And so God seemed fit to come into the lives of this hurting family there in the west side of Los Angeles and send a couple, Pastor Mitchell Peterson and his wife Nellie, our elders. They went into that city, and when God came and he saved us, he saved Pastor Johnny, and the Lord used the ministry to touch many lives in our city. And so now we're all over the world, and we believe that the same thing that God has done in our city is the same thing that God can do here in the cities around here. How many can say amen? And if you think about it, we only had one church, and that was in Seattle years ago, over 29 years ago. My sister and my brother-in-law went to Seattle, and they started the church. And if you go there now, you'll see they have hundreds of people. You see that they actually sent this church out and sent other churches out, all from a man or a woman that has given their life to Jesus Christ. And what he has done in our family, he can do the same thing in your family. Amen. And it doesn't matter where you come from, how bad they were, because if you would have known me back in the day, hello, somebody, you would have never thought that I could even read. I was blown away by PCP. I know you guys don't know about PCP, right? Couldn't comprehend. I would read something, and I didn't even know what I read. You know, just read, and then, what did I just read? I remember one time as a young man, I was crying because I don't remember what I read. I was trying to read, and I just couldn't remember nothing. And so I thought my life, you know, that was it. My brains were blown. But God is faithful. Amen. So 1 Samuel chapter 17, just wanted to give a little bit of who I am. And it doesn't matter who I am, but just to make you feel more comfortable, amen, of what's going on. And that's what we did. We moved out here. Not moved out here. We started coming to the church here. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1 says, now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Socah in Judah. They pitched a camp at Ephes Damin between Socah and Azekah. And Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle lines to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp, and he was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze, weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs, he wore bronze greaves and a bronze javelin slung from his back. His spear shaft was like the weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed about 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. And Goliath stood at the and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects, but I will overcome him and will kill him, and you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." And on hearing this, on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this afternoon in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your love that you have for all of us here, God. And I just pray that, Lord, that today that you would give me the words to speak, Lord, to your people, Lord, that which you have placed in my heart. Lord, let me be able to share those words, Father God. Help me to encourage your people today. Lord, we love you, and we thank you today. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Well, this afternoon, I want to speak about on the subject of facing the giants in our lives. Facing the giants in our lives. And this afternoon, I believe that all of us, in some way, in somehow, that we all have them. We all have giants. I spoke of earlier that one of the giants that I had is that I felt really insignificant growing up as a young man. I felt less than the average person. This is the way I was thinking. And so there was a giant. It's different types of things that we all have to deal with. They don't show up many times in a person, and sometimes they do, hello. But they don't really show up sometimes like Goliath, where he comes and he stands before you as a person. The enemies that we face, they show up sometimes daily. Sometimes they show up weekly. Sometimes they show up monthly. Or whenever it is, he shows up and he begins to roar at you and I. Have you ever faced any giants in your life? Maybe today you're facing giants in your life. A situation or circumstance that feels like much bigger than you, much more than what you can handle. Sometimes those giants, they go ahead and they'll yell and they'll make us feel less than. And so we all face them. Every one of us here, we have certain enemies that will come, our giants that will come and roar into our mind and speak defeat to you and I. Many times we listen to the Goliaths and we accept what he is saying and we give in. You see, Israel had been facing this enemy, the Philistines, since the day that they were let go out of Egypt and made their way to the Promised Land. On their way to the Promised Land, they went ahead, and as they were there, Joshua took them over the river, and they went into the Promised Land where the Philistines lived. And they had a war with these guys, always in war with these people. And there they are once again. They're facing this enemy that they had been facing for years. Have you ever faced that enemy or have an enemy or a Goliath or I'll just say an enemy that you've had for years in our lives? Sure, they had a promised land, but there were inhabitants in that land, and one of them were these Philistines. And these enemies, the Philistines, they were a nation that was powerful. Turn to your neighbor and say they were powerful. As a matter of fact, when they described this Goliath, they described what he was wearing. And he had like the latest, army gear that you can have. I mean, if it was anything, they had more weapons. Actually, they had more weapons than Israel had. They were more advanced in warfare. They were more advanced with everything that they used. And they were more advanced than this group of people here, the Israelites. But God had shown them favor a few times there. And I remember one time, I guess it was Samson, that he defeated the Philistines. But it was a constant, the basic thing I'm saying, there was a constant, war with these guys. Constantly. They just wouldn't go away. You ever had something that is constantly you deal with that never goes away? Oh, come on, somebody. I'm not talking about your husband, amen, or your wife, but something deeper than that. Those things in our lives sometimes, they just constantly come. And so once again, they're facing the enemy. And now the enemy has a guy there named Goliath who comes up, and he begins to go ahead and taunt them. He begins to go before them, and he's there, and he's harassing them. And the Bible says for over 40 days, this Philistine, this is in verse 16, would come morning and evening, and that enemy would take his stand. Morning and evening for 40 days would stand there and yell out and cry out against Israel and their army. The Bible describes what was taking place. It describes the area in the first few verses. We see that on one side on the hill, there was the army of the Philistines. Between them was a valley. On the other side was the army of Israel. For 40 days, they would get up twice a day. The enemy would come out, Goliath would come out, and he would yell and defy the armies of the Lord. And for 40 days, the Israelites would get up, get their battle gear on, stand on the other side, and just sit there and shudder and be afraid. And I believe like almost in fear and be paralyzed. So for 40 days this would take place. They would line up for battle with that valley in between them. So I want you to, let's get a look at what's taking place here. Let's go to verse 8. Now Goliath, which stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subject. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." And on hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. So they would go out, take their positions, evening and morning. Goliath would come out, take his stand. Israel would do the same. They would get up, probably, get ready. I just started to think about it. They would get ready. They would put their battle clothes on or whatever they were going to do. They would stand there. They would make a lot of noise. They would shout. Can you imagine a guy, can you imagine the army? Can you imagine, I was thinking, why, this is what Saul, Goliath was telling him, why do you come up and stand up against me if you ain't going to do nothing? Like, you get up for the last 40 days, you guys been getting up in the morning, you actually, let's take it back before 40 days, you join this army. You joined this army to help conquer and to get what's yours and what's your inheritance, the land that God has given you. That's what you joined this army for. So they joined the army thinking, we're going to go ahead and we're going to take the promised land. It's mine. We're going to go and get what God has for us. They went ahead and did that. They would get up in the morning here in this certain time. They would get up in the morning. They would stand there. They would make a shout, a battle cry. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Thank you, Jesus! Hello, somebody. But they were ineffective. But they stood there, and they would just be, they were in the army, but there was nothing else taking. There was no battle going on. They would just stand up there, make a lot of noise, kick up a lot of dust, but just be there. I was thinking, why did they go through all the motion, all the war cries, and do nothing? And do it for 40 days. Sure, they joined the army for a reason, for the purpose of conquering. And so this is what would happen. And I began to feel like, man, Why even be there? I don't know about you. Have you ever been in a situation or a circumstance where you, I can put it this way, we come to church or we serve the Lord, and I've been there personally, and we're just there, and we come to church and all that, but yet we feel, you know, we don't have the victory. We feel in our minds that we have Goliaths that come, and they tell us about our past. They tell us about something that we've done. I want to share something with you, because how many know that we're all sinners here? And we're all saved by the grace of God. But many times you and I, we get up, we come to church, or we talk about Jesus, we want to serve the Lord. But then what happens is Goliath comes, and he comes and he shouts out to us, "What do you think you're doing? You remember what you did last night?" A matter of fact, Brother Joseph said, missed his flight? What's the first thing that came into his mind? He said, "I must have sinned. So God, I missed my plane. So because I sinned, so I can't be able to, you know, God wasn't able to move on my behalf." You know, many times we come to church and we're here and we come in, and because we've sinned, oh, don't look at me like you don't sin. Because you know what? My Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory. So to me, and I'm not sugarcoating it, but to me, I understand that I have the tendency to sin. I have the tendency to sin. Now, I don't know about you. You guys look pretty all, you know. You're all good and all that, but I don't think I can even drive home without sinning. I'm going to speed, break the law there. I'm going to maybe, you know, do something, or make a wrong lane change, not put my signal on or whatever like that. So, but many times, this is where I began to think about it, because many times there's many Christians that we suit up, we get ourselves together, or we have a desire, we want what's ours. But yet when we just seem to listen to the wrong voices sometimes that will come out, and they'll be telling you things that, hey, you, who do you think that you are? You done this bad, or you did that, or just yesterday you were doing this, and oh, you were doing that, and we sit there and we, oh yes, I can. And we don't get our breakthrough. You see, that's the strategy of the enemy. He gets us to look at the giant and discourage you and I. When we want to do ministry, or we want to serve, do ministry, he'll bring right to us stuff right there, you know, live. Somebody say live, right there, right to you and I. And he'll show you something that you've done so that you will not move forward. And he goes ahead and he'll try to demoralize us, make us feel less than. But how many know that we are not less than today? Oh, maybe you're not understanding me. We're not less than today. See, the armies of Israel were eating it up. The armies of Israel, sometimes as Christians, we eat it up. We listen to those type of voices, or we listen to what's going on, what the enemy's telling you and I, and we stay there, and we're stuck. We come to church, but we really don't get what we want, or we serve God, but we look at all of our failures and all the wrongs and all that stuff, and he gets us stuck in a situation or in a feeling or an emotion. He gets us in a place that God has never intended you and I to be in. Because on the other side of this story, we know that this little guy named David shows up. David shows up. And when he goes up, he doesn't look at the enemy and what he's saying to him. When he sees the enemy, he's looking at what God has done for him and what God could do to this guy. There's two different ways of thinking. They were looking at the situation. They were looking at the giant. And David was looking at his God. You know what has kept me for over 30 years of serving God? Is that not looking at my mistakes, not looking at all my wrongs. If I'd done that, I would have been done a long time ago. But I look at what God says. I look what God says and who I am.
I look at what God says is that in a situation or a circumstance, that, man, I know that my God is faithful, and no matter how I feel today, God is able to move in this situation or circumstance. I get a peace from God knowing that. But if I listen to the enemy, I'll go back out and do the same things that I used to do. The difference now is I have the Spirit of God living within me. David went up and fought the giant. Let me tell you something about the Bible. Men are never the heroes. Turn to your neighbor and say, men are never the heroes. You know what I learned about David? Is David is a man after God's own heart. Right? But David had shortcomings too. This is the beginning. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is the beginning. But later on, now don't think that I'm saying, go ahead and do whatever you want. I want you to look at something and say, look, David started off here, and he's here, and he's coming into this situation, and he sees this guy. He doesn't look at him. He looks at what God is able to do, and he recognizes what God is able to do, what God has done for him, and what God is able to do. And he sees him, and he goes ahead, and God, it's not like, oh, he went. I heard messages that he went, and he got five smooth stones, and they had to be the smoothest stones, and then they could just fly, and then God is making you into a smooth stone, and which is okay, but I tend to believe that who gave David the victory this day was God. Somebody say God. And you know who gives you and I the victory? It's God that gives you and I the victory. We can't do it in our own strength. We can't do it by obeying all the P's and Q's and trying to. That don't make me right with God. Oh, me performing for you or me performing and all that. That doesn't make, you know, because I can perform in front of people. But still, it ain't going to give me the victory or the hope or the peace that I have unless I know who God is and say, you know what, God, I might not be good at this area or I might have failed there, but I know one thing, God, that you'll never leave me nor forsake me, that you're going to be there. And you know what, if this thing ain't gone, then I know that you're going to make a way with this thing. Somehow or another, either I'm going to get sick and tired or being sick and tired. I always think of this in my life. When it came to addiction, maybe some people would struggle with addiction. I didn't want addiction anymore. So I embraced God's word and what God had for addiction. I said, man, you know what? I don't want this no more. And you know, I never went back into addiction. So God gave me the victory. But then on the other hand, can I be honest? Like I think Joseph said. On the other hand, there's some areas in my life that I say, man, God, when are you going to move in this area, God? Oh, I'm the only one. Ain't no one saying, when are you going to move in this area, God? God, what is this game? When are you going to give me the victory? I've been trying and trying. Well, that's a good thing to have in your heart, a desire to change and all that. But it's going to be God. I can tell you right now, to tell you the truth, God already has given you the victory. Sin has no, on you and I, it doesn't, sometimes we think that it has a hold of us, and so we go, oh, I just might as well just forget it and curl up in a ball and give into it. This is what we'll do to our giants. We're either going to give in and believe God, we're going to try to put them under the rug and fake it, or we're going to let God see us through the situation or the circumstance. So I don't have to walk around like, man, I blew it, and oh, man, I'll just, and listen to, if I listened to all that, man, I would have given up a long time ago. Israel listened to what the enemy was saying. They were stuck. Sometimes we're stuck because we listen to what the enemy tells us. I've been there. I've been stuck. I've been stuck at a level in my life. I've been stuck in an area of my life. I said, man, God, I don't know, man. It seems like I'm stuck. And you know what I mean? I'm stuck here. I'm stuck. It seems like I'm stuck in this area. It's like my car got stuck in this area, and I'm just like trying to get out, but I'm still stuck here. But I have to look to God and say, God, you know what? No, I'm not stuck because your word says, hello, somebody. Because of what your word says, you know what? Technically, I am not stuck. Technically, your word says I'm more than a conqueror. Somebody say amen. Your word tells me a lot more things than what I think sometimes. I wonder who we listen to. Who do we listen to? Do we listen to the Goliaths of our lives, an impossible situation taunting us, or even if it's a situation in our lives that says, this will never change, that'll never change, your husband will never change, your wife will never change, the situation, your kid will never change, could be a habit, this habit here, it's never going to change. And so we give in and we're stuck, or we can press forward. Somebody say, press forward and move on. You know, that's why we're here in the city. We're here to bring a ray of hope. When Pastor Eric's here and he's standing here and he's preaching the word of God, it's to inject you with faith, to give hope in those hopeless situations and circumstances. Hey, man, you know what? If God has done it for me, then God could do it for you. If God has done it for me, God can do it for you. There's no need to come in here defeated if we look to God. We are, what the Bible said, we are friends of God. I mean, with the song we sang, should I say, I am a friend of God. Abram was a friend of God. We're friends of God. We're God's children. And nowhere in the Bible does he say, I'll leave you. I know in Joshua, he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. One of the scriptures that no matter what I go through in life, I can always look up to the word of God. And he says, you know what? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I could be at the verge of saying, man, I just want to give up, man. I don't know what else I can do. I don't know what to do in life. And my wife probably don't know that, or my kids don't know that. Nobody knows that I could be on my last, oh, man. But then the word of God comes into mind. You know what? Man, I'm never going to leave you. I'm committed to you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Have courage. Don't be discouraged. You know, I got a plan and a purpose for your life. You know, I'm going to see you through. And how many go, God is faithful? That's what David had to go through. That's what he had to use. But David is not the hero. God is the hero. God is the hero in the word of God. Don't ever look at a man and say, oh, man, I want to be like David. David did this. He conquered Goliath. David didn't do that. God conquered Goliath. God's going to conquer the areas in your life. God's going to give the breakthrough. It's God. If you look at David's life, he fell with Bathsheba after this. Mighty man. Matter of fact, I was reading it later on in life. What was he reduced to? I'm not trying to bring no hope. But when he died, he had to hire a concubine to come and keep him warm, frail and old. It's not in you and I. It's in God. When we put our hope, our trust, and our heart to God. See, the giants in our lives will try to demoralize us, to get us to focus on them. But in this battle of life, we've got to look to God, who's able to give us peace and victory. David experienced victory, but he also had some other battles. But one thing he didn't lose is lose the war, because God was on his side. Somebody say amen. Amen. You might be here this afternoon and you don't feel that you don't measure up. Maybe you have failures and habits that cause you to doubt or discourage you or demoralize you. As believers this afternoon, we have to recognize that it ain't about so much our performance. What did God say about David? He don't look on the outward appearance. God looks at the what? God looks at the heart. God looks at the desire of your heart that's in there. When you come and we come here, and when we're here and we feel like, man, I just can't make it, or I let the pastor down, or I let this down or that, and we come before the Lord and we're here and we're saying, God, make me a better man. Lord, make me a better woman. Somebody say amen. When you're in the presence of God and you're broken and contrite before God, how many know that God is able to move in our situation, our circumstance? Our performance has no bearing on God's love for you and I. God loves you and I unconditionally. It took me a while to figure that one out.
Well, before we close, I'm going to talk just five things I want you to remember. That God is the hero of every story of the Bible. We can't defeat the giants on our own. Number two, our victory rests in the Lord, who's called us and provided us the victory of our enemies through Jesus Christ. Listen to this. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So you might not think so, but the Bible says that he gives us victory over sin and over death through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As the musicians come up, I'm going to go right through really quick. Number three, the giants we face are there to build our faith in him. See, it depends on how you look at them. The things that you're facing right now in those areas is how much you're going to believe God. Are you going to believe God to see you through? Or are you going to look to what God says about that situation? Or are you going to let them be a hindrance to you and I and to keep us from serving? So the giants that we face are to build our faith in him. They are impossible to defeat on our own. They're never meant to demoralize us, but we could soberly look at them, not run or hide from them, and cry out to God, Lord, I need you in this area. Number four, remember that David was just a shepherd boy. He didn't need to suit up in someone else's armor. He suited up and his confidence was in God. Whatever we go through, we put our confidence in God. He'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. He had an understanding of who God was. And number five, I want you to do something. I want you to recognize that we are in a spiritual battle. And the enemy wants to keep us, defeat us, and keep us from our relationship with God. It's us that makes a U-turn and walks away from God because we get discouraged. Recognize it's a spiritual battle. I'm going to close in Hebrews chapter 4. Don't listen to the enemies, the giants, but listen to God's word. Remember your relationship with God. Hebrews chapter 4, and I'm going to read in verse 14, as we all stand. Why do you suit up? Why do you serve the Lord? Devil, because I'm his child. And I love him. You know, I might not be perfect, but I am his. You could tell the enemy that all the time. Who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, and yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Who gives us the grace? Who will help us in our time of need? It's God. With every head bowed,